The following program was previously recorded and is sponsored by Danny Yamashiro Ministries. This is 99.5 The Word.
Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. What does it mean to rediscover community and being patient as we weather the COVID pandemic? Pastor Jim White has applied 3 decades of pastoral experience to serve his church and community in Palmdale, California. He shares insights on relationships and waiting on God in anxious times. We pause here, as we typically do at the beginning of our program, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show. Well, dear friend, it's to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, for you to know and be reminded that there is always hope in Jesus. Yes, no matter what you're facing, what you're going through, dear one, there's always hope in Jesus. In Jesus, who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And then the same Jesus who has touched the heart and life of Pastor Jim White is reaching out to you. And it is our prayer that you would open your heart to Jesus if you have not already done so. Receive him as your Savior and Lord. And if you know the Lord and are walking with the Lord, well, we believe this will be a moment of encouragement for you. Pastor Jim White came to Palmdale United Methodist Church in 2015 after serving 21 years of ministry in the Hawaiian Islands. He's lived in Virginia, Wyoming, Hawaii, New Jersey, and California. He married his high school sweetheart, Jody. They have 2 children, Ezra and Emily, and both of whom are married. Jim, welcome. Welcome back to our show.
Oh, thank you, Danny. It's been a while.
Well, I mentioned this is really the second time on our show.
Yeah.
But let's revisit to get started.
Sure.
Where did you grow up?
Well, my dad worked for the National Park Service, so we moved around quite a bit. I was born in Virginia, lived less than a year there. Spent 4 years in Wyoming, moved to Arizona, and from kindergarten to 9th grade, went to school in Scottsdale. Then we moved to Hawaii when I was starting my sophomore year in high school. And so even though I spent most of my elementary time in Arizona, I really feel like Hawaii was home because that's where I went to high school, college, and then had 28 years of ministry after seminary there as well before coming here to California.
After all those years, Jim, who would you say? Who would you say influenced you most in your growing up years?
Oh, great question. Well, growing up would have to be my parents, my dad specifically. My mom was killed in a car accident when I was really young, just between ages 6 and 7. And so I know that, you know, much of my character and personality, you know, is shaped at an early age. So a lot of my mom is probably still in, you know, who I am, and she was a powerful woman of faith. My dad remarried, so I feel blessed to have grown up having another mom. But my dad really has been that source of strength and encouragement, and the person of faith, you know, he got that from his parents as well. My grandma and grandpa White, very strong Christians. And so just feel blessed that I grew up in a family of lots of love and faith.
So you grew up in a family, a strong Christian family with a rich heritage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What about your personal journey in view of that? How did you become a believer in Jesus?
Well, both of my parents were very active, not only in church, but, you know, with a relationship with God. I remember when we moved, one of my earliest memories, we moved from Wyoming to Arizona, and we started looking around, you know, to find a home church. And I remember that my parents gave me, and my brother was 3 years younger, so he was really young. You know, I was probably five and a half, almost six. And I remember that my parents gave me a vote on the church that I liked the best as we were trying to decide. And it turned out I voted for the church with the best playground. So it turns out that's actually the church we went to, First Baptist Church Scottsdale. They had a great children's ministry, and I grew up going to Sunday school and going to VBS, and when I was in junior high, going to camp. And it was probably around fifth grade or so that I went through a junior discipleship class at my church and gave my heart to Jesus, and off and running from there. But, you know, grew up in the church and just always loved being around that community.
Now, was there anything in your childhood related to the trauma of losing your mother that you think may have predisposed you to the kind of work and ministry you do today?
Interesting question. When I was growing up, I really wanted to be an attorney. I loved the law. I loved government. I wanted to help people. And when I felt called to ministry, which wasn't until right after I graduated from high school, I was looking back, and the time that the church rallied around our family after my mom's car accident, I realized that was so foundational. It was my parents' Sunday school class. It was a large Sunday school class. It probably had 60 or so people in it. But I still remember in the weeks and the months after my mom's death, just how many people were constantly at our house that were bringing us food, that taking my brother and I out so that my dad could have some time. And looking back, I thought, you know, that's the church at its best. That's the community. We care for each other, especially when, you know, someone is hurting. And so when I was feeling called to ministry, this was the summer of 1986, and I was wrestling with this because, one, I didn't want to be a pastor. I mean, I loved God, I loved the church, but come on. Nobody invites pastors to good parties. Nobody tells good jokes around the pastor. So I was kind of struggling with this own sense of, you know, can I really be myself and answer the call that God has given me? And I also didn't know any young pastors. Most of the pastors I knew were much, much older, so I really didn't think it applied to me. But then I was looking back, and that foundational time when, you know, when I was six and a half, almost seven, and the church engulfed our family with love and grace, I said, you know, if I can be a part of that, something like that with others, okay, that'll work, right? And then I look back to my youth pastors when I was younger, and then the pastors and the people of faith as I got older that really exemplified what it meant to share Jesus's love, to be there for people no matter what. And I said, okay, I can do that. That's something I would love to be a part of.
Well, and you certainly are and have done that for decades now and continue to do that. How would you describe your relationship with Jody, coming to know her, getting married, and her being a part of your life and marriage and ministry? How has that deepened the touch that you have for the Lord on the lives of people? Mm.
Yeah, so we started dating. Well, I moved to Hawaii when I was starting my sophomore year. We moved to the Big Island in Hilo, and I went to Waikea High School. And so I met her my sophomore year, and we were friends. We were in many of the honors classes together. But we didn't start dating until my senior year. We had to buy tickets for our senior prom. So the senior prom was in April. We had to buy tickets in January. And so like in most guys, I'm guessing, I made my list. I wasn't dating anyone. So I made my list. So here's the top 10 people that I would want to take to the senior prom. And like, you know, the first three are on every guy's list, which means you have no chance, you know, with those three women. And then the next five or so, it's like, okay, here's, these would be great to go out with, you know. And I was kind of, Jody was number nine on my list. But, and she likes to remind others that I had, she was number nine on the list, but I always tell her, but you were the only person that I asked. And so I was going through my list and figuring it out. And I said, you know what? I don't even know which one of these will still be my friend in 4 months, let alone one, you know, wanted to go to the dance with me. So I'll pick Jody. She's a beautiful young person. She's a Christian. She comes from a great family. Take a chance. You know, who knows? I went over to her house after basketball practice, asked if she'd be willing to go to the prom with me. And she's like, well, there was another person I was hoping to ask me, but he hasn't asked me yet. And the deadline's coming up. So sure, I'd be happy to go with you. So I'm like, great. You know, didn't hurt my feelings that she said that. And so then the next day in school, I said, well, now that we're going to be going to the prom together, you want to go out sometime? She said, sure, we'll go out. So we decided to go out to a movie. I think it was Romancing the Stone or Jewel of the Nile. That's what it was. Jewel of the Nile, the follow-up to Romancing the Stone. And so, but I knew that I thought I was going to be going off to the Coast Guard Academy for college, which was still back with my, you know, wanting to be an attorney and get into government. And that whole thing fell through. So we had kind of the idea that, you know, we'll be together for a while. And then when we go to college, who knows what happens then. And, you know, when that fell through at the end of my senior year, Jody was really one of the anchors that kind of helped me pray through things and be open to whatever it is that God was doing. No clue that it was going to be calling me into ministry. And then when I felt that call that summer between high school and college and was talking to her about it, and we went to University of Hawaii together, we realized that, yep, this was something, not only this calling into ministry, but our relationship was something that God was cementing and putting together. And so we dated through college. We got married right after we both graduated in the summer, late summer of 1990. And then she's been, you know, my partner all throughout ministry. I'm a United Methodist pastor. And so in our denomination, she doesn't have a really big role to play in terms of, she's not up front with worship. And we don't list her as one of the pastors of the church. She's just Miss Jody. But she's definitely been that support and encouragement, someone that I can talk things through. She often will give me feedback on sermons and, hey, you know, I like this, or what about this? And of course, you know, upholds me and the ministry and prayer. And just couldn't be here and have done what God has allowed me to do in my ministry if she hadn't been, you know, with me along the way.
You're listening to Pastor Jim White of Palmdale United Methodist Church, Palmdale, California. He's speaking of his beloved Jody, his dear wife, and his background of a traumatic childhood with his mother's passing, his birth mother's passing from a car accident at the age of six, and how he made it through, and how the church came around his family, left an indelible impression of the kind of love, support, and presence the body of Christ is to a family in need. And I think it speaks volumes to the times in which we live. And perhaps today, in your moment, the Lord sends Pastor Jim to share heart to heart with you, to remind you of the love of God and the grace of God through the body of Christ. Pastor Jim, he's also a lover of sports. He loves movies. His degree was actually in theater at the University of Hawaii. Reading, photography, Disneyland, cookies, laughing. He laughs well, I would say. He and Jody also have two dogs, Milo and Hope. He'll share more heart to heart with you. How did the Lord lead him to Palmdale, California? He'll tell us when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So he enjoys life. There is a great deal of balance. I've known Jim for many years and have appreciated his ministry, and one of the things I so greatly thank God for is the way he's able to speak directly and yet with a level of tenderness that is so needed in our society today. We've got tough questions, we've got tough times, societal challenges, political challenges, emotional, psychological things that are going on and that seem to press us all at the same time. And to hear a voice, a pastoral voice like Jim White, a blessing indeed. You can find out more about his ministry at pumchurch.com, pumchurch.com. And the Good Life program, hey, you can get this podcast as a gift to you. Just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, download it. It's yours, and I would say share it with a family member or friend. Now, Jim, how did the Lord call you from 21 years of pastoral ministry in Hawaii to Palmdale, California?
Well, I'm a pastor in the United Methodist Church, and our denomination, we're put into geographic regions, so I'm in the California Pacific Annual Conference, so it's Southern California, Hawaii, Guam, and Saipan. And I never thought, I'd never lived in California, never had a desire. I wasn't the kind of person that was trying to, you know, move up to bigger, taller steeple congregations, bigger salaries, and that wasn't my thing. I loved Hawaii, and I was content to spend 40 years of ministry serving the people in Hawaii in the United Methodist Church. But in our denomination, we are given 1 year at a time in a local church. That doesn't mean we only stay 1 year, but it was set up originally by John Wesley way back when Methodism started in the American colonies, because there was a shortage of ordained clergy. And so circuit riders would actually move around on horseback, and maybe they would have 15, 20, 25 churches, congregations that they were had oversight for. And the goal was always that the congregation would be the core center of the church. It was the people that God had called to be, you know, the hands and feet of Jesus. And so the pastor on his horse would, you know, come by every 2, 3, maybe even 4 months, would preach a sermon, would baptize, marry, bury, do all of the, you know, the sacrament of communion, all of that, and then would be off with the other churches. So it was the lay people that really kept the ministry of the church going while the pastor was gone. So the Methodist Church has always had this one-year-at-a-time commitment, and part of that is so that each pastor can preach and teach and lead the way the Holy Spirit is guiding, and a church board can't say, oh, you know, you can't talk about that because, you know, we that makes us uncomfortable, so we're going to get a new pastor. But at the same time, if it feels like it's not a good fit, then the local church can say, hey, you know, to the bishop, we would like a change in pastors. And so my first appointment was at a Korean church in Honolulu. I was the English language pastor. I served there for 3 years. Our son Ezra was born there. Then we moved to the Big Island, which is where I went to high school, and our daughter Emily was born there. I served there for 3 years. And then I was blessed to be at IAEA, United Methodist Church, on the island of Oahu by Pearl Harbor for 15 years, which was a blessing that my kids were able to, you know, go to the same elementary school and high school and graduate. It was fabulous. And as my daughter was graduating, I got a call from my superintendent who said, the bishop is considering you for a church in California. Now, have no family in California. Like I said before, I had no desire to come to California. But when I was ordained, I said I would go where the bishop, being led by the Holy Spirit, felt I was needed most. And they told me about this community in Palmdale. They said, it's not near a big city. And like, I only know like what, Hollywood, San Diego, San Francisco, Los Angeles. I don't know any of the cities in California, so it's not a problem. And it's a city in the high desert. So we're at about 3,000 feet elevation. We're about 45 minutes north, northeast of LAX Airport. And they said the pastor who had served there had been there for 24 years. He was being moved to be the superintendent of that district area. And they were looking for someone who was a good preacher and had a passion and love for people. And they thought, you know, I would be a good fit. Now, the challenge is when you're replacing somebody who's been there that long, often the pastor that comes in really just becomes an interim pastor because that pastor was so beloved, it's hard to have someone, you know, come in and step into his or her shoes. But I'm in year 7 now, so evidently it was a good fit, and I've really come to love the community here in Palmdale, California.
You talk about the community. A question came up as I was thinking about being with you today. What is Palmdale known for? And when you mentioned the word high desert, I remember back in the 80s, there was a movie called The Right Stuff.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
They talked about this place called Edwards Air Force Base, but the word high desert of California
yep.
often came up in the movie. What's the connection?
Yeah, that's very close. Edwards is about 45 minutes north of us. And the Palmdale and Lancaster are the two cities that are yoked together here in the high desert. And the three big areas of work that people have, one is education, of course, right? Schools everywhere always need teachers. Two is medicine. Doctors and nurses. We have two hospitals here. In fact, my wife, Jody, works for one of the hospitals in the community as an administrative executive assistant. But then the third is aerospace, and there's the connection to the right stuff. And so there's a couple, two large aerospace industries here. They work in, many of them work in connection with Edwards Air Force Base. So that has brought a lot of people up here. It's also a commuting town because we're, believe it or not, we're actually in LA County, even though we're so far away. And for many people, housing was much more affordable in the Palmdale Lancaster area. So families moved up here and then would commute. In fact, when I moved here in 2015, the pastor that I was replacing, he said that, you know, there's 300,000 people that live in this high desert area of Lancaster and Palmdale, and the average commute one way for people that work up here or that live up here is 90 minutes one way. So some are working up here in the community, but many are driving back down into LA. They up here, they say down below, right? Because the altitude and you know, moving down geographically. And so that's part of the challenges of being at a church in a community where many people are commuting and they're not home with their kids, right? And so we've been blessed. Our church has a preschool that's not only able to care for the very youngest of our children, but also a pre- and after-school program. So, you know, if you're leaving at 5:30 or 6 a.m. to drive down to L.A. to work, you can drop your kids off. We'll get them to school. We'll pick them up after school. We'll have activities and programs, make sure they get their homework done. And then you can pick them up by 6:30 p.m. And so that's really become one of our signature ministries and offerings here. I didn't start it. It was here long before I arrived. But it truly is a blessing to this really unique community here in the high desert.
You mentioned community and even the word rediscovering community. And just by you describing the service that Palmdale United Methodist Church provides, really enhances, supports, offers something that is much needed there. I mean, a 90-minute one-way.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What does it mean? Let's go a little bit deeper on this now. Jim, what does it mean to rediscover community there at Palmdale, in Palmdale, Lancaster, during the pandemic?
Yeah. Well, gosh, we're coming up on almost 2 years now from when it first hit. And I still remember that about a Sunday before everything closed down, my office administrator had said, "Hey, you know, we're wondering if we should start, you know, having our, when we share communion, have the people that distribute the elements wear gloves." And I'm like, "Gloves? No, we don't need that. It's no big deal." And then everything just kind of boom, boom, boom dropped. And that week, suddenly we're faced with, okay, yeah, we're not going to be gathering anymore on Sunday mornings, at least not for a while. And we were not live streaming at that time. I was doing a podcast where I would take the audio component of my sermon and put that on our website, but that was it. We were not, you know, technologically savvy. And suddenly, you know, that first Sunday, what was it, like around the third week in March, 2 years ago, I'm taking my iPhone out, we're putting it on a tripod, and we're doing Facebook Live to try to, you know, have some kind of worship time, service, opportunity of hope and connection for people. And then, of course, as the weeks and months went by, we invested in the equipment so that we could, you know, have a little bit higher quality live stream and started putting that to place. But we also realized, you know, we have to stay together because we had no idea how long this was going to be. I remember listening to a podcast when someone was talking early on and some of the projections coming out of the, I think it was the College of London, an area that, an entity that does a lot of epidemiological studies. And they were projecting that this could last through November of 2021 in terms of the pervasiveness of this. And so I'm like, wow, we got to start planning long term. So we, you know, bought the equipment that we needed to live stream, but we also wanted to make sure, because we have a community that's filled with all different ages, and many of our seniors are not as technologically savvy. Some of them are. There's some grandmas and grandpas that can, you know, Zoom with the best of us. But so we, one of the things we instituted was a senior phone tree, and we said, okay, we want to make sure that all of our seniors do not feel like we've just abandoned them because they can't come and be together in community. And so I asked for anyone in the church that's willing to call five seniors every week for however long we need to do this. And I had a number of people that signed up for that, and we just randomly assigned people. And then all throughout the pandemic, up until maybe last summer, people continued to call. In fact, some relationships were really strengthened between some of our younger folks and some of our seniors because they would call them every week just to kind of check in on how they're doing. And
I think,
but then we also,
I think Jim, there's a resonance with what you're doing, what you've done, with people of varying ages, and it's certainly something that I think in the resonance of it, also challenges the stretching of that November timeline as we are now in 2022 and you know, we have variants. Let's talk more about some of those changes and how you've navigated through with the underlying denominator, as it were, of rediscovering community. You mentioned about buying equipment. Already you're thinking about new ways of communication, new ways of staying in touch with one another, serving one another. You're listening to Pastor Jim White of Palmdale United Methodist Church, PUMChurch.com. You can find out more. He spent 21 years serving as a pastoral ministry in Hawaii. He's now in the high desert of California. Any of you remember seeing the movie The Right Stuff? And what a soundtrack that movie had. You will remember the guts of the test pilots and the story of the Mercury astronauts. Oh, that's where Jim White lives. Hey, 90-minute commute for people that live there to L.A. and back. They serve them. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Pastor Jim White earned his bachelor's degree in theater from the University of Hawaii at Manoa, and his Master of Divinity degree from Drew Theological School. You're listening to the Good Life radio program. Danny Yamashiro here. Pastor Jim White, our guest today. Thanks for joining us. If you're tuning in right now and maybe just caught the tail end of that last segment, you can get this program as a gift to you. As I typically say, go ahead and share it with a family member or friend. Before our break, we were talking about the community, rediscovering community during the pandemic. Jim, how is patience vital in weathering the COVID pandemic?
It's kind of a joke, but I always tell people, don't ever pray for patience, because God will give you all kinds of opportunities to practice that and grow in your in that gift and fruit of the Spirit. Boy, who would have expected the length that this pandemic has been with us, you know, over the last 2 years, I had somewhat of an idea and it was going to be longer than we imagined, but never this. And so, of course, God gives us all kinds of, not that God causes the pandemic, not at all, but that through all these challenges that we have in life, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit that God is working on to help us become more and more like Jesus. So we've had to be patient with how the virus has changed, waiting for vaccines, patient for when the churches and most of the businesses were being closed, you know, for safety. But we've also had to be patient with ourselves and not expecting us to continue to be doing life as normal, as if nothing was wrong. I mean, all of us collectively as a world have been going through this global pandemic. And so there's a lot of things, I think, that God, a lot of situations in our lives that God uses, if we're willing and open to be shaped and molded and changed, that patience can help, you know, mold and reform us more and more like Jesus.
Well, since you brought it up, you talked about prayer and tongue in cheek, you know, praying for patience.
Right.
So let's just keep the spotlight on you, Jim, and describe how your experience of patience has deepened because of COVID.
Well, when we first started trying to put live streams together, having very little, if any, experience with the technology, I had to be patient and recognize, okay, it's not going to be perfect the first time, right? It's not going to be polished and all of that, you know, how we do things. But that's actually been one of the blessings over the last 2 years. You know, it's sort of like God has reminded me, it's not about polish. It's not about, you know, perfection. It's about community. And so give yourself a break. I remember a pastor recently has said to a group of pastors, whatever you're doing enough. You're doing enough. Don't beat yourself up over what you're not doing, what you used to do, and all of this. We're in new territory. And so God has challenged me to be patient as a leader, but also as a friend with others, and trying to build the type of community or sustain the type of community here in our congregation and in the community at large that gives grace for others. In fact, we say our mantra, the slogan that we keep in and out every week is that we're inspired by Jesus to love. And oftentimes, love requires patience.
Do you have a favorite quote by John Wesley?
John Wesley. You know, one of the things I loved, so quick heading back to, you know, the 1700s, John Wesley was a pastor, came out of the Church of England. He was trying to help revitalize what he saw as a lagging church. Never wanted to start a new denomination, wanted to be, you know, salt and light, wanted to be the leaven in the bread of the Church of England. And so, you know, he was so on fire for Jesus and loved the Lord and really wanted to help people in all aspects of life. He was widely read. His brother Charles is an amazing songwriter, and he was like the first circuit rider. He rode his horse all over England, Scotland, Wales, everywhere. It was incredible. But, you know, he also had a sense of humility and knowing what you don't know. And he once said, I don't know the exact quote, but something along the lines that as firm as I believe in so many things, there's a chance that I could be mistaken on a few things and probably downright wrong on others. And so he had this sense of humility and grounding, and he would say, you know, we for the essentials of faith, right? God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, the centrality of Scripture, we have to have unity on that. But for everything else, we have to have liberty. Meaning, especially in United Methodist Church, we say, you know, you can believe a variety of things. You don't have to believe all the exact same things on this doctrine, as long as, and this is the key, in all things Wesley said, we must have charity. So Danny, you and I can disagree on whatever the topic is, right? Immigration or abortion or whatever the hot topic is, LGBTQ communities in the church. But as long as we do so in a spirit of love for one another, that's going to hold us together. We'll learn from one another. We'll grow. God will use me and you to teach and learn from each other as well as be learned by others. So I love that sense of Wesley that, you know what, I am firm in what I believe, but I could be mistaken, and I'm probably wrong in a couple of other areas. And so as long as I have the spirit of love and openness, we'll be okay. We'll be okay.
You're listening to Pastor Jim White. Jim White has a, well, as you can very well tell, he has a big heart of love for people. He talks about charity. He talks about John Wesley. I remember being in Oxford at Christ Church, where John Wesley went to school at Oxford, and heard a professor there, or they call him a tutor, an Oxford tutor, give a talk. It was a kind of a mind-blowing talk that he gave. And at the end, he said, and remember, with all that I've just said, I could be wrong. So,
yeah,
great scholarship, a great academician, as some would say, but this level of humility. And I think, Jim, you're ringing a bell that needs to be heard, even in the body of Christ. Now, that is not to say, and you made that very clear, the essentials are the essentials, but there are many things that are beyond and subject to various forms of interpretation. And I think we need to be reminded of that. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Program. Pastor Jim White, our guest today, and I hope that you are, being moved and touched and challenged, even where you are in your life today. When we come back for our final segment, we're going to have a lightning round with Pastor Jim, so stay tuned for that, and a time of prayer. Of course, we always talk about challenges, so he'll share a little bit more about that, because there is a bridge between the challenge or challenges that he has faced in his life and how God has taken him through, a bridge to how the Lord may be working in your life and may be taking you through. More from Pastor Jim, heart to heart with you when we come back. I don't think you want to miss this. So would you do this? Would you stay with us? Stay with us now, okay? We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
He talked about John Wesley. I'm thinking about Pastor Jim White. His favorite quote, here are a couple more. John Wesley said, "The best thing of all is God is with us." Isn't that a word of comfort in spite of or in the midst of the challenges that we face today? He also said, John Wesley also said, prayer is where the action is. Prayer is where the action is. Don't you know it? You can find out more about Pastor Jim White, Palmdale United Methodist Church, PUMchurch.com. This program, other programs, other shows, each one unique, but others similar, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Jim, a lightning round here, a few questions.
Sure.
Are you ready?
Go ahead.
Okay. Is there something you like to collect?
Oh, I am a huge Disney fan. In fact, we moved here in the summer of 2015, and one of the first things we did was buy an annual pass to Disneyland. Now, it's about a two-hour drive from the high desert, but I love driving down. I try to go once or twice a month to the Disney parks. So I'm always finding little Disney things here and there. I'm not a huge collector, but I do like finding different, you know, Disney memorabilia from the parks. And I have our guest room is the Disney room. And so you come in there and there's all kinds of different tickets and pins and buttons and stuffed animals and things that I've picked up at the parks over the years.
What mentor impacted your life in ministry?
I think I would start back to before I became a pastor, when I was in college at the University of Hawaii, and I was part of the Methodist campus ministry at UH Manoa. And the campus minister there was Reverend Gaius Speed, and he was already towards the end of his ministry career, older gentleman. He and his wife, Ann, they were just amazing. They really helped me kind of, as I felt called to ministry, understand, you know, what it means to be called by God, but also just to be who you are, that I didn't have to change and become what I thought other people were expecting from. And one of the best pieces of wisdom he gave me was, he said, you know, God doesn't expect you to know what his will for your life is 10 years from now, or 5 years, or even 1 year from now. God just wants you to know, what is he calling you to do today? And if you can pick that up and run with that, then the 1 year, the 5 year, the 10 years, that'll take care of itself down the road. You know, don't be overwhelmed by where this is going. Just, what is God calling you to do today? What does he want for you today? And never forgotten that.
Favorite drink?
Oh, I'm an ice water guy. Although I have been enjoying going to Sonic and getting the strawberry limeade with some vanilla added to it.
I see. Well, you need ice water as the base for that drink, don't you?
No, it's just ice. And then, well, I guess it's kind of like a Sprite kind of a mix. And then with the strawberry chunks and then lime squeezed in there. So, but living in the desert, we got to have water. It's essential.
Take a little bit more time on this one, Jim. Mm-hmm. We talked about the pandemic and community and patience, but how has the Lord helped you personally through a challenging time?
Well, we didn't get into this earlier, but we moved here in 2015. It took a while for my wife to find a job, permanent, and she started working at the other hospital, not the one that she's working at now, in Lancaster, Antelope Valley Hospital. And it was very strange because she had been an executive pastor or executive secretary for many, many years, but never in the healthcare industry. But that's who offered her this job. And so she started working there in 2016. And it was less than a year later, when I was just going through a routine medical checkup, that my doctor discovered a high PSA score for me, did a little work with a specialist, and discovered that I had prostate cancer at the age of 48, which was strange that it was so young, and was able to have an amazing surgeon, Dr. Hanoon, that performed prostatectomy. And I'm coming up now on 4 years being cancer-free. And we look back and, you know, why did my wife get that job? Well, one, I was able to find the doctor that helped identify the prostate cancer. But two, the hospital, because she was an employee, they comped my entire surgery, because they were able to get a tax credit because it was part of employees. And so that was this huge financial burden that we also didn't have to undergo because of that relationship. And so, boy, that was, I almost feel like I haven't had cancer because everything went so smoothly in getting it detected early, getting the treatment, and then the follow-up and the recovery. And I made it a point to tell my congregation as soon as I found out, because, you know, as pastors, Danny, we often are, you know, surprised when people tell us they went through something and we didn't know, and they're like, I didn't want to bother anyone. So I made it a point from the beginning to tell the congregation, here's what's happening, so that they could be praying for me and walking with me like I pray for and walk with them through their challenges. And, you know, it's been almost 4 years. I'm so grateful for what God has led me through. And just a reminder that there's so many things that happen in life that God is working behind the scenes just to try to bring life and healing and wholeness to us and to the community around us.
A parting shot, Jim, as you speak of this moment when you can't plan. You could not plan for the cancer, and you could not plan for the provision, but God was in it with you. What would you say? What do you believe the Lord would have you say to someone struggling today?
Well, this may sound surprising, but I am not a proponent of the phrase, everything happens for a reason. I think things happen because of choices we make or choices that other people make. But I 100% believe the words of the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans chapter 8, that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to God's purpose. So whatever it is, whoever's listening to this, whatever you're going through, first of all, it may not be that God put this upon you or God gave this to you, whatever the challenges or struggles are in your life. But I totally believe that if you look to God for guidance and strength and hope, that God can bring something good out of that. It may not be what you're hoping will come out of it, but I honestly believe that God will bring good out of any situation if only our eyes are open and our spirit is receptive to seeing how the Lord may move.
A prayer, Jim. Pastor Jim, would you pray for our dear listener right now who may be facing a health challenge, as you have?
Absolutely.
Shocking news. Maybe a financial challenge. Maybe a relational challenge. Maybe something on the inside, in their mind, their heart, their spirit. But a challenge nonetheless. Jim, would you pray for our listener,
Absolutely.
Please?
Absolutely. Gracious God, what a gift, what a blessing it is to be together today, no matter when it is that people are listening to this segment, this podcast, this radio message, Lord, we know that everything happens with your Spirit accompanying us every step of the way. So whoever is listening right now that may be struggling with, whether it's financial, relational, spiritual, for physical challenges, first of all, give them your grace and calm and quiet their heart. May your peace that passes all understanding fill their spirit. Take away the fear and the worry that they may have and replace it with your comforting presence. And God, we don't know where this journey will take these individuals, but we know that you have promised to be with us every step of the way. And I pray in the name of Jesus, who is our healer, our savior, our guide, our shepherd, the good shepherd, that they may begin to glimpse some of the good that you are bringing out of these situations in their lives, in their relationships, in their families. And God, I pray that you just give them strength and perseverance, that you surround them with the stamina, the spiritual stamina that they will need to get through this, trusting that you are leading them and that you indeed are working for good in their lives and in the world around them. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
The mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen, Pastor Jim. I love saying that of you because I just appreciate and just am so grateful for the tenderness of your heart, your love for the Lord, and your love for people. Jim, thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, my pleasure, Danny. Thank you so much for having me.
Life-giving words from Pastor Jim White, PUMChurch.com. My friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And look, if you haven't done so, we believe this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus. Would you do that? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers, your support, financial support, you'd like to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Donate. I thank you in advance. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, brothers and sisters, take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Jim White, PUMChurch.com. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, web designer, Arlen Nagata, operation directors, Aaron Custodio, and Joshua Main of Salem, Hawaii and Salem, Seattle, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.